This morning we'll read two passages of Scripture, one coming from the Gospel of Matthew, the other from the Gospel of John. Hear now these words from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." And from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 4 through 6. "You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, let's prepare our hearts and our minds so that we may receive this week's message from Jesse Adams titled "Vital Info."
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, our souls look to you as we sit together in worship and as, Lord, we listen to the word of God. We pray that you would encourage your people, that, Lord God, they would hear their word and anoint your servant, Lord God, as he proclaims the word of God. May you receive all the glory and the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. Once again, with all the Universal Church of Jesus Christ, we pause to commemorate Jesus' entry into Jerusalem 6 days before his crucifixion. Both the Gospels of Matthew and Luke tell us, tell us that this was a fulfillment of prophecy. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 9, where the prophet said, "Rejoice, rejoice, O Jerusalem. Your king comes unto you, righteous and bringing salvation, riding on a donkey, the colt of a donkey, of a colt of a fold." To this, Matthew says that the people shouted and they praised the Lord. Modern version says that a crowd gathered to this event. The original of the New Testament in Matthew's Gospel says a multitude. And in the meaning of a multitude, it says that it was disorganized. And in some places, it could mean a multitude It was a mob, without necessarily a significant purpose, maybe. And so these people, they praised and they honored Jesus. And they said, Hosanna. The word Hosanna means saved now. And this is indicative of the fact that they were now saying, you are the promised king. You are the promised Messiah. And we want you to do what we have hoped for, that you would, in other words, get rid of this Roman Empire and you would elevate once again Israel to the place it was under David and Solomon. Having said this, someone, or maybe it was just one person, or maybe it was two, questioned, who is this man? And the answer came to them, this man is Jesus of Nazareth of Galilee. Now, does that answer adequately identify who Jesus was? They gave his name, and he said, he lives north of us in Nazareth. But did that say anything about who Jesus was? We have to go to the book of John. And in the book of John, chapter 14, Jesus is with his disciples on Thursday before his crucifixion on Friday. He had told his disciples several times, I am going to die, and I'll rise again. And here, on this day before his crucifixion, he comes to them and he says, listen, I want to tell you something. I'm going to leave you. I'm going to depart. And I know some of you are sad about this, but it says, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in me. You believe in God? Believe in me. He says, I am going away to prepare a place for you. And then one day, I'm going to come again. And I'm going to receive you unto myself, and we're going to go to heaven. Where I am, there you're going to be also. From Jesus' declaration here comes a question from Thomas, and he says, oh God, Lord, Lord, we don't know the way. Tell us, well, what are you talking about? And then Jesus responded, and he gives to them some vital information. And the reason I say vital information, because the word vital means necessity. It means something that you really need to grip and get a hold of and understand. And what we see in what Jesus tells his disciples is that, number one, vital direction. Number two, vital description. And number three, vital distinction. Now, the reason I have used the word vital necessity today, because we know that while we sit here believing, there are many around us that do not believe. These words for us will be words of encouragement. They will basically bring security to our faith. And then yet for those who do not believe, it is the message that they must understand so that they too can go into the place where Jesus wants all his people to be. First of all, a vital direction. Jesus said, "I am the way." Some would say, "Well, wait here. Aren't you one of the ways?" There are many philosophies, many concepts. People have different opinions. There are many churches, many denominations, many religions. People have their own opinion that does not accept what Jesus is saying. So how can you say, "I am the way"? You should say, "I am one of the ways." And give these other people the opportunity to believe in what they want to believe. And unfortunately, that's not accurate. Because Jesus said, "I am the way." And while some will shake their heads and say, "Biased, closed-minded, has no feelings for other people and what they believe," Jesus says, "I am the way." Look, if we will, to John chapter 8, verse 24. And in this verse, Jesus is talking to people of his own ethnicity. He is talking to fellow Hebrews. And he says this, "I have told you that if you do not believe in me, you will die in your sins." Wow. How definitive. Solid. If you do not believe in me and the person who sent me, you will die in your sins. I don't care. He didn't say, "I don't care." But he says, you may believe something else, but this is going to happen to you. Then in John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And he begins by comparing the situation that he's going to talk to them to about sheep in a sheepfold. And he begins by telling them that, listen, the sheep, in order to enter the place where the shepherd is and where he keeps the sheep, that they must enter into the gate. And he says, you know, that people that do not enter into to the door, enter into the gate that's opened up for them, they're like thieves, and they're like robbers. Well, you know what would happen if at night suddenly we hear somebody trying to get into our back door or trying to open the window. There's no other way to get into the house legally except through the door. And in verse 9, Jesus says, listen, as the sheep must enter to the gate of the sheepfold, you must enter the door. And Jesus says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he will be saved." Here, Jesus says again, the only means of coming to God, the only means of understanding his blessings of forgiveness and the blessing of eternal life is through the door, and I am the door. And that person will be saved. And the original focuses on the fact that it's not because you will save yourself by entering into the door. It'll be saved by me. Because I will am the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. 10 days after the ascension of Jesus into heaven, The Holy Spirit came upon 120 people gathered in the upper room in Jerusalem. Jesus had promised this to them. And they became witnesses because Jesus had said, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Judea, Jerusalem, and all the othermost parts of the earth." And they began to proclaim Jesus. Those who were against the message of Jesus' resurrection said, "Listen, you should not preach about Jesus being resurrected anymore. You just need to shut your mouth." And to this, Peter replied, "Listen, understand that there is no other name under heaven given unto men whereby they must be saved." Confirming what Jesus had already said to them, "I am the way, he is the only way, and I know we have family, may have family members, we may have friends, or they could be co-workers who said, 'No, I don't believe in that. I don't believe what Jesus says. I'm in this religion. I've got this thought.'" This is the word that the church must claim. Jesus is the way. Secondly, the vital description. Jesus says, "I am the truth." And in stating that he is the truth, Jesus is saying, "I am reality." And it's not an opinion, it's not maybe. I am the truth. It's real. There's no other way. Now, brothers and sisters, if Jesus was not the truth, bad news, he is not our Savior. Because falsehood is a lie. And no sinner can die for the sins of the world. So Jesus is saying, "All that I have said to you is true." John in chapter 1, verses 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld him in the glory of God, full of grace and truth." In verse 17 of that same chapter, it says that the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came from Jesus Christ. So therefore, everything that Jesus said is true. Number one, his identity. Not only am I truth, I am the Son of God. Not only was it about his personhood, who he was, but also what it meant for us to live a Christian life. A Christian life and how we should use it. And yet we can sum it up in a couple of things. Number one, the Sermon on the Mount, which we as a church have been taught. You should live as the Sermon on the Mount says, as it relates to how you treat other people. You don't kill them. You're not angry with them. You don't call them fools. It's how you live in your marriage. It's how you tell the truth. You don't use the oaths and so forth. And he lets us know, listen, you don't have to worry about what's going on in life, about your clothes, the food, your job, how you're going to live. But he says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." You don't have to worry. Then he talks about something else that we don't often want to hear. because it just seems too negative. But yet Jesus, who is the truth, says, guess what? There's going to be a judgment day. Wow. No one wants to go to judgment. No one wants to appear before the judge. But yet that happens in life. And Jesus says that, listen, that there was one day all who are in the graves, all, every last one of us, will hear his voice, and we will rise, some to everlasting life, some to everlasting judgment. Which one do we want to rise in? And praise God, it's to the resurrection of life. But for those who don't believe, who say, no, our minds are just messed up, we have come to just understand that this is the way, I don't have to go that way. Jesus says, it's a place of everlasting judgment. Aren't you glad that someone told you about Jesus Christ and how you could go to heaven? Aren't you glad? You should be saying, praise the Lord. And at the same time, because someone told us, we should be telling others. Because life is crucial. It just doesn't end when someone puts us into the grave, or when we are cremated. But it comes again as we are resurrected and we stand before our God. Jesus also said, listen, it's better for you to live without one arm or one eye than to enter hell. But you know, Jesus spoke about heaven, and he also spoke about hell. And he said, yes, I'm not here for a negative sermon here now, but this is the truth. Amen. And Jesus says that it's better to be maimed and enter heaven than to enter hell. Guess what? It says, where the worm does not die. Now, you want an exercise? Go get your worm out of the earth. They're there. Then get you a match and burn him. He's going to die. But God said, no. In hell, that doesn't happen. And guess what? That says the fire is not quenched, which means there's no fire department. Yeah. And so he emphasizes that you need to be prepared to enter judgment. I am the truth. And then he gives more vital information. He says, gives what I call the vital information of distinction. I use the term distinction in that it refers to the fact that there's no other person that can say this. There's no other person to say what Jesus said to his disciples. I am the light. John 1:4 says, in him was life. Within the New Testament, there are several words that are translated as life, but they mean different things. One, it refers to simply our physical makeup. God created us, and he breathed into our nostrils, Adam's nostrils, the breath of life, and men became a living soul. Life also emphasizes warmth. If you're alive, you're warm. If you're dead, you're cold. But here, in this particular passage of Scripture, another word is used for life, which basically emphasize just the highest essence of who Jesus is. He was God in the flesh. He was not dead. He was life. And if we as human beings are to have that type of life, we must go to Jesus Christ. To a woman in Samaria, Jesus had journeyed through Samaria, and he met this woman, and he asked her for a drink of water. And the discussion, the woman was saying, hey, wait a minute. You don't have any bucket. You can't draw anything. How are you going to give me water? And Jesus responded, the water that I give to you shall be a well unto eternal life. If you believe in me, if you receive me, I will give you into your soul something to bubble up into eternal life because you believe in me. In the same Gospel of John, Jesus said that I have come to you that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Another translation says, I have come that you might have life, and you might have it to the full. You know, sometimes we need to really think about what we call life. What do you call life? Well, you say, well, if I have all the money that I need, pay no debts and so forth, that's life. But what happens when the stock market crash, when our pension goes down? All of us might say, well, no. That is just to have a big party and so on. And you say, well, how did you enjoy it? I enjoyed it. I don't know what it all was about. But, you know, I went to sleep. I got a hangover. But it was good. Others of us might say, well, I'm happy I got life because my best team won. Well, what about when they lose? Dud, wow. Jesus says, I've come that you might have a life and that you might have it more abundant. In this world where there is a lot of turmoil, in this world where there's a lot of strife, in this world where you may get sick, I am still there, and you can live and have faith in me. Then a friend of Jesus died, and he went to the family in this time of bereavement. He had been dead 4 days. Back then, there was no embalming, and the question, he's gone. And Jesus said, he'll live again. His sister said, Lord, we know that he will live in the resurrection. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That man that has been dead for 4 days, he is going to come out of that grave. Come on, let's open it. Let's open it. He's going to come out. And he did. And he lived. And of course, he died again. But the life that Jesus is talking about is also physical and eternal. The life that I give right now, if you're frustrated, if you're in turmoil, I can give you life. You can live above it. And believe you me, you know that today some people are living in tragic situations. Tennessee, the innocent are killed. We have a war that seems that it's not going to be stopped. And even though we see so much destruction, no one is able to stop it. Or it may be within our own lives. But the Lord says, if you believe in me, you shall have eternal life. And the Word of God goes on to say that one of these days, that as people gather through the roads going to Jerusalem, praise God for who he was, or who he thought he was, we shall praise God because we know who he is. He lives within us. On Monday, we shall see him face to face. And the word says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to the glory of the Father that Jesus is Lord. We're going to confess because he saved us. Those who don't believe will have to confess what they didn't believe, that Jesus is Lord. And for the Christian, we will live with him forever and ever. And we will enjoy eternal life, where there'll be no sickness, there will be no death, no crying, and we will always live in the presence of the Lord. And for those who don't believe, it will be life, but it will be life in eternal death. And that's the gospel that we need to preach to those who say, I can't believe. May God bless us. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And we praise you and we thank you because you're a good God and you're good to us. And we know that you're good. And we look forward, Lord God, to the day where we will sing together in the choirs of heaven, praise be to God. Help us as a church to give to people round about us who know you not the message of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.